always locked on heat. Biscayne, South Beach, Goldberg and Ramil. Talking heat, body chill. Got the stats in the news. Got the facts and the views. Never know what they gon' say. Mailbag on a Monday. Pat Riles got the pack ride. Coach Spo got the know-how. Three bands in the raps now. Heat Nation, that's a packed house. Heat talk at the game time. Heat talk every day. I'm always locked on heat. Got it locked on heat. Always locked on heat. Keep it locked on heat. Seat geek for the cheap. What's the day got the heat?
And now, your locked on heat hopes. Wes Goldberg and David Ramil.
I'm seeing a lot of negativity after this game, after this Heat win against the Clippers. Miami beat the Clippers 104-101 on Sunday night. I'm seeing a lot of negativity after the game. And look, I get it. They gave up a 20-plus point lead. They were outscored in the fourth quarter, 35-15. It looked like the Heat were on their way to an easy win. Turns out that they had to scrap and claw and basically come back to win this game in a game that they led by 21 points at some point. I get the negativity. I'm seeing a lot of the negativity. I'm not seeing any positivity from anyone other than the Heat. After the game, the Heat seemed relatively positive. Obviously, they're not happy about blowing such a lead. But look, the Clippers are a better team. They're most times that the Heat play the Clippers, they are going to lose. If they play this game 10 times, the Heat probably lose most of the times. Never mind the 20-point lead. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The Clippers are better than the Heat. Now, there's circumstances involved. The Clippers were on the second night of a back-to-back. The Heat were on the road. But the Clippers were at home. I don't care if they're on the second night of a back-to-back. They probably win this game most times anyway. They are better. They're a better team. They have the best player. They're at home. The Heat are on a West Coast road trip. That basically equals things out. The Clippers being on the second night of a back-to-back and the Heat playing on the West Coast and the Clippers getting to play that game at home, those things cancel each other out as far as I'm concerned. They're even. They're even. And on an even playing field, the Clippers are a way better team than the Heat. The Clippers, of course, they lose Chris Paul over the summer. The Heat were able to keep their group together. Blah, 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 blah. The Clippers still have the best player on the floor. That's Blake Griffin. It's not even close. The Heat were missing one of their best players, Dion Waiters. And the Heat were still able to manage to beat the Clippers 104-101 in a game that they probably should have lost and a game that they lose most times than not. Now, you could point to that fourth quarter. You could say, well, look, the Heat should have blown this team away. 35-15. Fourth quarter. They're outscored. They basically let the game slip away. They almost blow it. They commit 7 turnovers in the fourth quarter. After basically not committing turnovers for the first 3 quarters. And you could point to that and say, well, the Heat should have just blown this team out. It shouldn't have been this close. But if you were to ask me before the game started, would you take 104-101 win over the Clippers? You say, hell yeah, I take that. Of course. Now, you could be negative about it and say, well, look, the Heat weren't able to close out this win, but they got the win. A win is a win. And when you beat a team on the road, a better team on the road, you just take it. You take it. You walk out of there and you leave. The Heat probably shouldn't have won this game, and they did win the game. They managed to find a way to win. These are games that the Heat have been losing this season. They lost a game like this against Denver 2 nights ago. They beat the Clippers. A very impressive team early on in the season. So you could be negative. I'm going to be positive. And that's been sort of what I've been doing all season, except after the Denver game, which fortunately I didn't have to record a recap after that. But I'm happy with this win. This is a good win for the Heat. It's a good win. Now, if you could point to that fourth quarter and you could be disappointed, but look at the Clippers. The Clippers were outscored in the first quarter 34-20. They were outscored in the third quarter 27-17. Don't just look at the Heat when you're looking at these games. You've got to look at both sides. For that one bad quarter that the Heat had, the Clippers had two bad quarters. If you're a Clipper fan right now, if you're locked on Clippers right now, you're probably saying, well, if it wasn't for that first quarter, the Heat or the Clippers probably win this game. And they're probably right. You and I both know basketball is a game of runs, and that's what this game was. The only close quarter was the second quarter. The Clippers outscored the Heat 29-28 in the second quarter. All of the other quarters were one-sided. The Heat had two one-sided quarters and go in their favor. The Clippers had one. That's what this game was. Don't get so bogged down in what the Heat did wrong and look at this game from both sides. Sunday afternoon games are weird. You know that. I know that. They're always a little wonky. One team kind of comes out lazy. In this case, it was the Clippers. And the Heat didn't necessarily finish the game, but they managed to win the game. That's what's important. So, we're going to get to your Twitter comments and questions, which not really a whole lot that I need to get to. But first, quick reminder to make sure that you subscribe to the Locked On NBA channel, which brings you all 30 Locked On NBA podcasts into one easy-to-follow stream in your podcast app. Our recommendation is to subscribe to Locked On Heat so you can get every episode automatically every day, and then subscribe to Locked On NBA channel so you can scout Miami's opponents and keep up with the most interesting storylines in the league. Also, be sure to check out the NFL side like Locked On Dolphins, the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So I got a lot of comments about Dion Waiters missing the game. Dion Waiters did not travel with the Heat because he stayed in Miami because he was having his child. He was going to stay in Miami for the birth of his child. So, of course, the Heat give him the game off. And Dion stayed in Miami. He will be rejoining the Heat for their next game against the Warriors. That's at least the plan for now. But I got a lot of comments in my emails and on Twitter about the Heat through those first three quarters when they were blowing out the Clippers by 20-plus points. Got a lot of comments saying this is reflective on Dion Waiters. A lot of people don't think that Dion's been playing well this season, that maybe he's a little bit of a ball hog, and the ball movement was so good for the first three quarters, or really the whole game. The ball movement was good all game. And a lot of people were thinking, well, this is a reflection on Dion Waiters. And I just want... The Heat missed Dion Waiters. Not for those first three quarters, but they missed him in the fourth quarter. And that is why Dion Waiters is on this team. He is on this team. He is in the position he is in for the fourth quarter. They didn't miss him at all in the first three quarters. But that's because Josh Richardson, his shot started falling all of a sudden. And you can't put that on Waiters because Josh Richardson was a starter alongside Dion Waiters. His shot started falling. Wayne Ellington, who's gotten several minutes, his shot started falling. Tyler Johnson played well when he wasn't necessarily playing well before. They got just as many touches. They got a little bit more tonight. But it wasn't like they were missing touches in the last several games when they weren't shooting well. They just weren't shooting well. And then they shot well. That's not a reflection on Dion Waiters. That's just Josh Richardson, Tyler Johnson, Wayne Ellington finally getting their shot to fall. Getting back to their averages. That's all that was. The Waiters being out is just coincidental. It's unrelated. And they ended up missing Dion Waiters at the end of the game when they couldn't score. In the fourth quarter, I have never seen this group of Heat players as shook as they were in the fourth quarter. They just seemed hesitant. They weren't sure what to do with the ball. the passes, they just a lot of errant passes going over their teammates' heads. Obviously, the turnovers, seven turnovers in the fourth quarter. They weren't sure. And if look, Deion Waiters, we all say irrational confidence guy, right? Deion Waiters has that irrational confidence. The Heat could have used that irrational confidence in this fourth quarter because nobody had a reason to be confident. They let a 20-point lead slip away. They needed irrational confidence. That's what Deion Waiters brings to the table, and that's what they missed in the fourth quarter. They needed somebody to score. And keep in mind, nobody hit a game-winning shot tonight for the Heat. Nobody did it. The Heat were fortunate that James Johnson got fouled and made two of his free throws. And that was after he fumbled the ball away, trying to go up against a mismatch on defense or on offense. He was going against Austin Rivers and he just fumbled the ball away. The Heat were fortunate that he got fouled and he made both of his free throws at the line, but that's not a game-winning shot. It gave the Heat the lead, but it wasn't a game-winning shot. Goran Dragic looked hesitant at the end of the game too. He got fouled. I'm sorry, Josh Richardson got fouled at the end of the game, and he made his shots at the line. But nobody hit a shot in the half court. Nobody made a game-winning shot. They got fouled, and they were able to maintain their lead that way. Having Waiters would have helped. Goran Dragic was hesitant at the end of the game. James Johnson was hesitant at the end of the game. Deion Waiters does not hesitate, usually. He did hesitate against Denver, but he did at least take the shot, and that shot was in and out. He was able to create his own shot. At the end of the game, Deion Waiters knows what he's going to do. He is going to create a shot, and he's going to shoot it. Nobody on the Heat stepped up at the end of the game. Josh Richardson made his foul shots. James Johnson, he made his free throws. Good on them, but they didn't step up and make a shot. That's the difference. That's when you want somebody like Deion Waiters. All right, moving on to my spotlight player. My spotlight player of the night is Hassan Whiteside. 21 points and 17 rebounds, six of which were offensive rebounds, three steals and two blocks in 31 minutes. Most importantly, he was a +8. Now, Whiteside being back in the lineup obviously stabilizes things for the Heat. It really helps them. His rim protection was huge. I thought his defense was tremendous throughout the game. His help defense was good. Defending DeAndre Jordan and also providing help defense is really hard. Because most guys have to stick to DeAndre Jordan because the Clippers could just throw the ball up there and DeAndre Jordan can just alley-oop it, dunk it home. That's why they're called Lob City. Most guys can't leave DeAndre Jordan in fear that they're just going to go with the lob. But Whiteside not only has the height and the athleticism to jump up and challenge the lobs, he was also strong on help defense. And that was, I thought, really important, especially when guys like Blake Griffin were driving the lane and Whiteside was able to stand in front and at least affect some shots at the rim. I thought his defense in the paint was tremendous. Offensively, he was there. 21 points, was relatively efficient on 9 of 16 shooting. Had a couple mid-range jumpers, finished at the rim well. But what really stood out to me about Whiteside's game tonight was when he wasn't playing. Kelly Olynyk started the fourth quarter for the Heat. Miami was up at that point 89-66 at the start of the fourth quarter. By the time Whiteside re-entered the game with 5 minutes and 47 seconds left, that 89-66 lead dwindled to 93-85. The Clippers went on a 19-4 run. That's really when LA was able to get back into the game, was when Whiteside was on the bench. Whiteside re-enters the game, and the Heat are able to sort of tighten things up just a little bit more. They're able to just plug some of the holes in the floodgates. They're still outscored 16-11 after that. But 16-11 is a whole of a hell of a lot better than 19-4. And a lot of that was because of Whiteside. And of course, there is that possession at the end. Blake Griffin has the ball in the final possession of the game. The Clippers inbound it to Griffin. They get the switch. Whiteside switches on Blake Griffin. Whiteside comes out to the perimeter to guard Blake Griffin. Griffin gets a shot off, but Whiteside is able to impact it somewhat. Good defense from him at the end to come out on the perimeter against Blake. And Griffin misses the shot. Heat win. So really great defense on the perimeter at the end of the game for Whiteside. In the paint for most of the game. And that's why he's my spotlight player. All right. Wrapping this thing up. Up next, Monday. The Miami Heat on the second night of a back-to-back. They will play the Warriors. It's at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. So stay up late. Make some late coffee. Look. The Heat probably aren't going to win that game, but they're playing with house money, right? Now, maybe that's why a game like this would have, if the Heat were able to manage to keep that lead and maybe rest and play some reserves in garbage time, maybe that helps the Heat next in Monday night's game. But either way, man, that's probably a loss. Like, I don't care if your starters are rested for an extra 5 minutes. It's the Golden State Warriors on the second night of a back-to-back on the road. That said, the Heat are playing with house money. I've been optimistic all year. I'll stay optimistic. And if Deion Waiters is back, Deion Waiters was able to beat the Warriors last season. We'll see what he could do this season. Look, if you haven't already done so, just a reminder, if you could take a moment and leave a 5-star rating and review for our show Locked On Heat on iTunes, it would be appreciated and help others discover the show. All right, I don't have any notes for the game other than just there was a point there where Eric Spoelstra, the Clippers get on that run at the fourth quarter, and Spo just kind of let them play through it. And that is a strategy used by several head coaches. Steve Kerr of the Warriors does that all the time. If their opponent is going on a run, rather than call a timeout, they just let their teams play through it. It is a strategy. There are reasons teams do it. Oftentimes, you don't want to call a timeout and get the crowd a little bit more involved, feel like they've just gotten one over you. Maybe you feel like the best way for your players to get through it is to just actually play and get through it. Talking it over, getting in their heads isn't going to help turn things around. That's what Spoelstra did. It's easy to kind of go back and say, well, he should have taken that timeout. Maybe he should have. I don't know. I'm not the coach. But I wouldn't say that it's just, hey, how many times do you ever see a timeout during a run actually work? Now, maybe if you call a timeout earlier and get Whiteside into the game earlier, that would probably be the one thing I would have changed, just because it was so clearly obvious that they needed Whiteside in the game at that point. Whiteside played 31 minutes. Probably could have played 33 or 34 if you get him in the game a little bit earlier, and that would have been fine. That would be my only note. But other than that, I've got nothing. It's a game of runs, and that's what this game's all about. That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. You can send mailbag questions. We're going to try to get to a mailbag later in the week because we have the Sunday night game and we have a Monday night game. The timing is a little weird, but send your mailbag questions in. We'll try to get to one later. You could send those to lockedonheat@gmail.com and tweet your questions and comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Make sure to subscribe to the show to get podcasts automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Theme song is by CeeLo Keys. Outro music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time.